Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. How are you? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Awesome to be here. Hump Day edition of the show. Lots of good stuff coming your way. The best case scenario for South Carolina this weekend against Alabama, 26-point underdogs. What would that best case scenario be? South Carolina legend Tim Frisbee joins us for his weekly hit at 1:20 p.m. Of course, it is Wednesday, which means we do our high school football gathering with Cole Bryson. The week that is, the week that was, the week that will be in high school football with Cole Bryson coming your way at 2 o'clock this afternoon as well. Which statement is most true? A new segment we're debuting today on college and the NFL where we give you a bunch of statements and you tell us which statement among them all is the truest of the lot. And a lot of other really interesting tidbits and news and notes and so on and so forth over the course of the show today. You know, I like to bring a ton of energy to this show. It was funny, you know, we do this, the Ingalls College Football Kickoff Show, and I host that on our very own 93.3 The Planet with Fatboy and Nine from The Rise Guys. And I'm having a great time with that show. You can kind of appointment listen to that if you'd like. It's a ton of fun, and it's 5 hours before every single Clemson kickoff. So this Saturday, it'll be 2:30 p.m. at the Ingalls in Pickens, South Carolina, not far from Clemson. But last week, for instance, I was starting that show, and I started with so much energy that it overmodulated the microphone, right? It was so much energy that my boss was texting us and saying, man, I will tell you what, we got to turn your microphone down. Today is a day where I feel like starting with energy is critically important. And it's critically important because of where we've been, of what we're doing, of where we are as a society, and what the significance of what today means. I learned on September 11th, 2001, I learned my don't hit send message, right? I learned my don't hit send message on September 11th, 2001. ESPN had started to put some non-sports stuff on the webpage, and I was in college still at the time, and I would wake up and I would go to ESPN.com first thing in the morning when I woke up. I would immediately go there. And a few times in the months leading to that, they would have non-sports things on ESPN.com, and it annoyed me. And you know how, like, everyone had AOL Instant Messenger at that time? Bloop, droomp, bloop. You know, you'd have that little bell ring whenever someone would message you, and you'd sign on to it. And I don't, Lonzo, what happened to AOL Instant Messenger? Like, why did we move past that? I thought it was a great tool.
I guess we've just outgrown it, don't need it anymore.
Why do we not need it anymore? Because I guess you
just—I never had it in the first place.
I guess text people, but it's a great way to connect with people on your computer, right? So I was doing that, and somebody messaged me, and here's what I said, Lonzo. Waking up the morning of September 11th, 2001, not knowing anything, and I looked in, and the front page of ESPN.com said plane crashes into World Trade Center, and I actually messaged my buddy on Messenger, and these were my words. I said, "Man, I'm so tired of ESPN." Putting non-sports stories on my screen. I mean, can they please stop with it? And he interrupted me right there. He's like, "Dude, shut up. go turn on your television. Shut up, go turn on your television. I knew not what I said. It was my lesson in the don't hit send, in the don't hit send department, and I learned that a very, very hard way. I absolutely learned that the hard way.
Well, I remember exactly where I was.
Where were you?
As we've pointed out here, I've worked at WORD for 20 years, so I do the midday, was doing the midday shift, and I would come in at 9 a.m. to do production, and everybody was staring at the TV, and I walked in, I was like, what are you guys looking at? And the first plane had hit, and as I was standing there with the host, Russ Castle, at the time, the second plane hit the second tower.
And you saw it hit.
I saw it hit live, and then the program director at the time came in and took the guy who was on the board off the board, stuck me on the board, and I was there for the entire day. And I didn't have a cell phone at the time, and you know, and I just remember during breaks, we were going full coverage with everything during breaks, just looking at the hosts and everyone just not believing what was going on. And they had cell phones, were able to call their family. I had no time to call my family till later on in the day, which was pretty scary. And also at the time, see, we have a state-of-the-art
building.
But
you didn't have any family up there.
No, I didn't. But still, you don't know what's going on in the world, period. When things are happening all over the place, you don't know if this is it. I mean, you just don't. And I had little kids in daycare. My wife was working somewhere else. I was able to get a hold of her later on. But the way our building, this was an old building, was set up, is none of the stations were connected. So the engineers at the time, they went and they connected every single station. They had to go in and rewire everything. So our station was running on every single station. And I mean, you know, so you get the pressure of that on top of everything that's happening in the world. And it was so surreal, unreal, whatever you want to say. And then you don't have time to get it all off of you until you actually leave. And I didn't leave till later on in the day. It was tough.
Do you remember thinking or feeling a certain way on that day? I remember thinking and feeling tremendous sadness. We still go through security measures at the airport. We've streamlined it real well, but we still go through security measures at the airport that are as a result of that day. I never had to take shoes off before that particular day and everything that went along with that. I do remember thinking, how could this possibly have happened? How could these guys have possibly coordinated this to get on planes, to take over planes, to kill the pilots? How could this possibly have happened? Then for me, another story that affected me quite a bit is this. There is a restaurant, I don't know if it's called, it was called Around the World or what it was called. It was at the top floor of the World Trade Center, right? And I had eaten at that restaurant in December of 1999. Okay. So in December of 1999, I ate at this restaurant that was on the top floor of the World Trade Center, December of 1999. September of 2001, that restaurant was eviscerated, okay? And a lot of people working at that restaurant perished. I have photos from that night, right? Eating at this Around the World, on top of the world. I'm trying to remember the restaurant name that was on the top of the World Trade Center. We went up to visit family that we have living in the Northeast. My dad's sister and their daughters live in the Massachusetts area, lived in Boston, lived in Massachusetts at the time. So a little tour of New York City over the Christmas holidays was something that appealed to everybody. So I'm eating on the top of the World Trade Center, and literally 19 months after I'm doing that, I'm watching smoke billowing out of the top floors of that. And I've wondered to myself, and I have got photos, and the waiter, waitress is in the photo, if those people perished in the blast.
I'm told the name of the restaurant was Windows of the World.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That I knew it was something of the world, right? Windows of the World. I ate there. Ate there 19 months before the accident happened, before the tremendous tragedy happened. It just jumped out to me, man. And every day, every year, as we get to this day, I'm brought right back to where we are. And I'll tell you what makes me sad about today and sad about that. Because I feel like I've moved on from the sadness of that day. What makes me sad about that particular event nowadays is the fact that I felt like as a society, we were incredibly unified on that day and the days thereafter. And I feel like in present day, we've never been more divided. I think there was something about that kind of going through all of that together that brought us together. You know, Republican, Democrat, white, black, it didn't matter. We were all Americans. We were all pulling for one another. You know, we either knew somebody who passed away, we had family who passed away, or we knew somebody who knew somebody who was passed away. Basically, all of us had one degree to the tragedy, right? Each and every one of us had one degree to that horrendous event. And, you know, and we were united. We were united. And then somehow, some way, I don't know if social media is to blame for this. I don't know who's to blame for this. But somehow, some way, in the last 18 years, since September 11, 2001, we've become more divided than we ever have been before. Do we have some people on the line, Lonzo? Okay, I can't. I'm working through some technical issues. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Let's get to Bob, who's up first on the line. Bob, thanks for the call. You're offsides, Bob. Appreciate you ringing us in on this, you know, on a day with a tremendous amount of emotion and memories attached to it. Thanks, Bob.
Mark, the reason I'm calling you is because I have a very unique story of this. I will never forget this as long as I live, and I think you'll appreciate this. My sister lives in Boston, and I went to visit my sister in Boston. I stayed 2 weeks, and when I got there, I landed in Logan Airport and, you know, went to visit her and stayed for 2 weeks or what have you, and I was supposed to leave that next morning, I think it's 6:45, from Logan to come back to GSP. But, you know, I was done sightseeing. I was done doing everything I want to do. It was like 5 o'clock. And I go, is there no way to get me out of here today? And she goes, look, I can get you in the red eye out of Providence and get you to GSP, and you'll land around 12 o'clock. And I said, okay, do that. And so I left Providence, and I landed in GSP, go home. I'm just exhausted, and I go to bed. But I sleep with the news on. Fox News is always on the channel. So I go to sleep, and I wake up, and I sit up on the bed, and I look, and the plane has already hit the first tower, and I watch the plane hit the second. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me as the information started coming in, I was scheduled, because all those planes left from Logan, I was scheduled to leave there that morning. Now, those planes that were gassed, they were going west, so I wouldn't have been on one of those planes. But it dawned on me, okay, had I been scheduled to go there, this happened, all airports shut down. I'm just going, oh my God, I could have been right in the middle of this, because it just happened. And then I nobody knew what was going on, like Lonzo said. We don't know if something else is going to get hit. We don't really know who's doing it. And everybody's reaching out to the family going, where's the next foot going to drop? And then I remember that night, because living here in Spartanburg, you can see all the jets flying, you know, from Atlanta, Charlotte, it's like, you know, lost that. And I remember there was no lights in the sky, no jets, no nothing flying. And how that affected our country for that period of time. And I could have been.
I think we lost Bob. Bob, I got the gist of your story, man. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. I've flown in and out of Logan Airport at least 10 times since 9/11, and every single time I'm in there, I've had this eerie sensation, kind of an eerie deja vu, wondering, man, are you walking the same steps that the terrorists walked? I'm wondering, how do we get to be a united country, the United States of America, as we were on that day, and as has fallen apart since then. Let's get to Delvin, who's up next. Delvin, how did 9/11 affect you?
Man, I remember I was going to the store that morning, and, you know, I like listen to radio, like listen to sports talk, and I would just flip the radio, and I heard sometimes, like you say, you radio broadcast like to have, put your emotion in it, and y'all like to have fun. But I actually heard this girl say, "Oh my God, I can't believe what I'm seeing right now." And I'm like, "What's going on?" Like, I never heard of, like, because she's having fun. She said, "Guys, I can't talk right now. This is so sad. A plane just flew into World Trade Center." And that's how I found out. She was telling everybody on the radio what just happened.
Yeah, and then do you remember the videos of George Bush was speaking to a high school, an elementary school, not far from where I lived? I was in Gainesville, Florida at the time. He was speaking to an elementary school in Sarasota. So he gets the message that the first plane hits, and he's thinking, he's got the look on his face that says, man, that's looks like a horrible accident, you know, like a concerned look. And then he continues talking to the children. The Secret Service guy comes back in, gives him the other message. The second World Trade Center had been hit. I remember feeling like this was an accident through the first plane hitting the World Trade Center. It wasn't until the second plane hit that you were like, dear God, this is the worst attack on American soil in the history of our existence, right? It wasn't until the second plane hit that we realized that, I don't think.
Yeah, that's what got me when she was on the radio. Like, the first time, she like, oh, my God, a plane just crashed through the World Trade Center. And she was explaining, like, you know, like you said, Mike was an accident. But then she got a real emotional on the second place. She said, oh, my God, this is not something that you – this can't be having back-to-back accidents. Now, she said, God, something real is going on here, dude, she said. And that's how I found out that it was a terrorist attack.
Yeah, Delvin, thanks for the call, man. I do appreciate it very much. Lonzo, was there one most troubling moment from you? Is there one image that is burned into your brain from that day? That for me, and this was a show that I ended up really liking that came out a few years ago, but their opening was a scene out of 9/11, basically, an animated scene. The things that stuck with me that I cannot get out of my head were people jumping from the building. Like people in full suits, full dresses, jumping from the building because that was a better fate than what awaited them behind them.
Yeah, I agree. That's the thing that sticks with me, too, because you can't help but try to put yourself in that position and think, what would you do? And no one really knows. And we actually saw what some people were willing to do, unfortunately. It was, just dread even talking about it. Because, again, we didn't know if the country was over.
Yeah.
Because these were just the first because I've never seen the country be attacked in my lifetime. And it's like dread. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, is this where I'll be when everything goes bye-bye? Will I be sitting in this chair? And, you know, someone has to run these things. And I just couldn't help but think that I'd never get to see my family again.
You know, I own the movie United 93 about the flight that where heroic passengers attempted to save it from hitting the White House, the plane. That crashed in a field. Everyone on board passed away. I also really enjoyed the film Zero Dark Thirty of our military men killing Osama bin Laden, right? Whispering to him, Osama, right before they put a bullet in his head. You know, the mastermind of all of that. I don't even like to use words like master for an act like that. But on this day, each and every year, my tradition is I rewatch those movies. I rewatch United 93. I rewatch Zero Dark Thirty to bring me back to, how this started and how this ended. All right. Tim Frisbee is going to be joining us next. We make the never smooth segue from a tragedy back to sports, but the Gamecocks, I don't know if you've heard, they have a certain opponent coming to town this weekend. We'll tackle that game with Tim Frisbee next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Twenty-six-point underdogs to Alabama are the South Carolina Gamecocks, and pressure's on Will Muschamp, pressure's on Ryan Helinski as the number two team in the country comes to town. Who better to talk about it than someone who played for Steve Spurrier, someone who played for Lou Holtz, somebody who's been on the Letterman Show, Late Night with Jay Leno. Tim Frisbee joins us right now on the line, former Gamecock wide receiver. And Tim, you know, in memoriam of what today actually means, do you have anything you can share with us about your experience on September 11th, 2001?
Hey, nice to be on, Mark. September 11th, 2001, I was still obviously in the military at that time. Kind of like everybody else was kind of watching. Actually, the TV was turned on when there was a report of a plane crash into one of the World Trade Centers at that time. We didn't know the effect of it. And then as we were watching the coverage, the second plane came in, and you knew the world would be changed forever after that. So you know, 3,000 people lost their lives that day, and this is a day that obviously is going to be, remembered forever.
It was. Do you remember how, like, being in the military at that time, did you guys receive any special instructions on that particular day, Tim?
Yeah, well, what happens is, you know, when you have levels of threats that are raised, the military raises their threat con level, which means they go into a higher state of alert. So immediately and from that day forward, the threat con level was raised and more protection went out on bases. Soldiers were called in to be part of force protection measures throughout the world, whether they were overseas bases or bases here in the United States. So it, you know, changed life forever. Just from a soldier standpoint, and obviously from civilian standpoints, with all the security measures you see still in place to this day, just a life-changing event.
It most certainly was. And I appreciate, Tim, how you worked so hard and devoted your life to keeping us safe. And I'm thrilled, and I think your story is so fascinating because you got to then live out your dream of playing college football after your service to our country. You know, it's one of those things, man. Every year on this day, I get brought right back to how we all felt and what we all went through, and everybody has a different story, and I'm interested in hearing all of them. So, Tim, I said we make the never-smooth segue from that to sports, and honestly, it will pick my mood up to talk about Alabama and South Carolina coming up this weekend. I look at this game as a tremendous opportunity for Will Muschamp, as a tremendous opportunity for the Gamecocks, as a tremendous opportunity for Ryan Helinski. No one's expecting you to win, but I think this is a great measuring stick to see where you are year four with Muschamp's recruiting and the quarterback who's going to be the future of the program.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, it's going to come down to the state of the locker room, where their headspace is at this time. In a week like this, when you have a game, a defining game like this, and you feel, you know, the college universe is kind of revolving around your city, it's going to be interesting to see how the Gamecocks come out and perform, again, being a 26-point underdog, and that, you know, Ryan Helinski with one game under his belt, and then we saw in that game that he was such a poised and able to come in and take over, how he will perform in that game. You know, I always say you have to believe in yourself first, then you have to go out there and compete. And if you can compete and stay in the game, then you have a fighter's chance in the game. But it's going to be a big test for the Gamecocks come Saturday.
What is the best case scenario for the Gamecocks? What's the very best case scenario for them in this game?
Well, obviously the best case scenario is a victory.
The best realistic scenario in this game.
But being realistic, Gamecock fans and, you know, the Gamecock Nation, they want to see South Carolina be competitive. What you want to be is you want to be able to be in that game in the second half. You want to that would be the goal. If you can have a competitive game where you fought to the end, you didn't give up, I think Gamecock fans take a lot out of that, as reminiscent of the game last year versus Clemson at the end of the season when the Gamecocks put up a great offensive performance. Obviously, the defense wasn't able to contain that dynamic Clemson offense. But South Carolina fans left with a little more faith in the team after that because they were competitive throughout that game.
Tim Frisbee, Gamecocks legend, joining us here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. People will say last week, Tim, hey, that was Charleston Southern. You can't put any stock into what a team does against Charleston Southern. I look at the flip side, Tim. I look at the fact that in the history of the program, they've never had an offensive outburst of that magnitude in the history of the program. The running game is responsible for that. Ryan Helinski is responsible for that. The offensive game plan is responsible for that. What did you glean from the new quarterback from game number one?
Well, again, I loved his poise. You gleaned that he was able to take his shots when he had to. He wasn't second-guessing himself. He wasn't thinking about it. He was just out there executing. And I think, obviously, the pressure was much less coming from a Charleston Southern defense. But I did like his execution of the offense, and I like that everybody from many of the receivers, the backs, obviously, got involved in that game and got a feel for the game and how this offense could perform.
Yeah, you really did get that feel. So I got a tip earlier this week from a reliable source, and I realized, Tim, that minds can change between now and then, but the tip that I received was that Jake Bentley will look to transfer sometime between now and the end of the year. Right now, he's feeling like he's going to enter his name in the transfer portal. Would that be the best thing for all parties, your opinion?
Well, I think that's probably going to be a pretty good chance that happens. You know, obviously we don't know what happens from here to the end of the season, injuries, whatever. But if all stays to form, then that most likely will be the best scenario, just due to the fact that if Helinski keeps performing the way he's capable of, or the way his curve looked like it's going, he's probably going to be set as quarterback of this team. I'm sure Bentley doesn't want to come back in a backup role next year. Obviously, with this day and age of the transfer portal, there will be demand for his services for a team that's going to be in need of a quarterback. So I think all parties considered, I think that may end up being the best option at the end of the season, but we'll see how that plays out.
We most certainly will. He was a wide receiver at South Carolina. He served our country valiantly. He's appeared on the Letterman and Leno shows, and he joins us each week to talk Gamecocks on Wednesdays at 1:20 p.m. Tim, we can't wait to watch the game. Can't wait to see the kind of truly get the feel for the talent that Will Muschamp has stockpiled in year four now, and can't wait to see the future of Ryan Helinski. We eagerly anticipate this game at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday. Tim, always appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. And anytime, Mark, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
All right. Thank you. Tim Frisbee, South Carolina legend. If you guys are wondering why I'm avoiding a certain sports story that broke last night and into this morning, there's a reason for that. I'll tell you what that reason is, and I'm going to give you the Gamecocks' best-case scenario of my own when Offsides with Mark Ryan continues right after this ESPN Upstate.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah, a lot of you are sharing stories of your own experiences from 9/11, which I greatly appreciate you doing. I really, really do. Casey Helderman says Facebook messaging, Snapchatting, and text have made AOL obsolete. Michael Stathakis says, not so fast, my friend. I still have an AOL email. Don't disagree, though. You've got mail. Lonzo, do your best dial-up impression, okay?
I ain't doing that.
Do your best
Bidum, bidum, bidum. Yours is better than mine.
Bidum, bidum.
See, it's hard for you because you have too much bass in your voice. You need to go up a couple notches there, but I don't think you can do it.
Lonzo, I'm all about that bass, man. No trouble.
Think you
no
can
trouble.
I don't think you can hit the high note.
Do you realize what I was referencing right
yes,
there,
Lonzo? Yes, I do.
What was I referencing?
Yes, Meghan Trainor.
Boom! And
is.
The truth shall set you free! Lonzo, Gamecock
really,
shirt wearing for the win!
Are you really excited that I knew who Meghan Trainor was?
That's a good song, man.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah, there you go. It's a good song.
If you like innuendo, yes, it's a great song.
Jonathan Chadwick has sent me a story that I don't have time to read right now, but he sent me the story of a woman. He says, check out what this brave woman was willing to do on that September day 18 years ago. And the lead to the story says her mission was to take down Flight 93 on September 11th. I look forward to reading that. Sports and Culture tweets in, I remember being on the phone with my brother, who is a Marine. After the second plane hit, he said, I have to go. I think we're under attack. He was stationed in Georgia and was already ready for war. Check on the text line at 71307, where you can get to us by starting your text with the word ESPN. I was a sophomore at FSU on 9/11. Well, listen, I'm really sorry to hear that. I know that the text will just get better from there. I'm kidding, man. I woke up that morning and saw the second plane hit. My roommate's mom was a flight attendant with United. He couldn't get a hold of her until the next day. We'll never forget the agony of waiting for that day. God bless the USA. Yeah, and it's, you know, and today's a day, and I like opening it up today for people to share their stories about what they've been through and what they experienced. And, you know, somebody listening right now knows somebody who perished on that day. And we're so interconnected to everybody and, you know, such close ties that I know that to be true. When 5,000 people perish on the same day, when our population it decreases by that magnitude, everybody knows somebody who in some way, shape or form was affected by it. And I've read everything and I've watched everything and I've listened to phone calls of people that were frantically trying to get out of the building and were not able to do so, you know, and it's, you're just brought back to that horrible feeling that you had on September 11th. I am incredibly grateful that we have not had anything close to that magnitude since then. Unfortunately, nowadays, the biggest threat we have is our own, is ourselves, right? Our lone gunmen with assault rifles mowing people down, right? And that has been the biggest threat since then. Thankful to our military, Secret Service, and everyone thwarting major attacks from happening here on American soil since that particular time. That's not to say that those terrorist attacks that have taken place here are not significant. They very much are. But as we all know, we haven't experienced anything to that magnitude or anywhere close to that. And thank God for that. You know, this story that the sports story that is out there again today and people are talking about it. I'll get to it at 2:20. I don't believe in letting bad people hijack my show. You know, you ever have somebody that you're just tired of talking to? And yet you have to talk to them more often than you'd like. Maybe it's somebody who used to be a friend, a coworker, a relative. That's how I feel about the initials AB. And I don't enjoy talking. I don't like him hijacking my show anymore. He's hijacking this show each and every day with more BS. And I'll share with you my thoughts about that coming up at 2:20 this afternoon. Lots of fun stuff still coming up. Open forum for you guys today to share your experiences from 9/11, because what I've learned is we all have a story. You can do so at any point today between 1 and 4 by giving us a ring at 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN. By texting us your story, 71307, by tweeting me, at Mark Ryan on air, that's at M-A-R-C, Ryan on air, send me the tweet with your story from that fateful day, and I will share it on the air with our audience. All right? Appreciate so much appreciate so much to have the ability to have the platform that I do today to communicate with all of you and kind of commiserate a bit, but also reminisce about where we were, where we are, and where we're going here in the future. Best case scenario for the Gamecocks this weekend for me against Alabama. South Carolina against Alabama. 26-point underdogs are the Gamecocks. I have a very close friend who has been on this show by the name of Aaron Torres. Here's what he says about this particular game. It means more if you're in the SEC, except when you're Bama. They don't care who you are. They're going to pummel your brains in. Here were the final scores of their SEC road games last year with Tua at quarterback. 62-7 over Ole Miss. 65-31 over Arkansas. 58-21 at Tennessee and 29-0 at LSU. So, yeah, Bama would have covered a 26-point spread in every SEC road game they played last year, including at LSU. And let me tell you right now, South Carolina ain't LSU. I'm not even sure South Carolina is Louisiana Monroe right now. Ouch, Aaron, ouch. Remember, this is a team which put up just 240 yards of total offense against their only FBS opponent this season, North Carolina, and are playing a true freshman at quarterback after an injury to Jake Bentley. Can you imagine what Nick Saban's defense is going to do to a true freshman quarterback? I've seen it. Jeff Driscoll at Florida, I saw that game. I don't want to go back. It's like throwing raw meat into a lion's cage. It won't end well for anyone. Well, I take that back. It will end well for Bama. South Carolina, they're screwed. Take Bama and the points here. I have a slightly more optimistic look for the Gamecocks in this game. I do think there is something of value that can be gained by the Gamecocks here on Saturday. I really do. What is the best case scenario for the Gamecocks on Saturday? Here it is. 40-20, Alabama. 40-20. And not the 40-20 that's Alabama up 40-13 and South Carolina scores with a minute 30 to go. The kind of 40-20 where Alabama leads 34-20 and South Carolina is fighting and fighting and fighting, and it's 34-20 and Alabama, or 33-20, and Alabama tacks on that late touchdown. But until that time, you're thinking, two scores, two touchdowns, we win the game, two scores. You're thinking that, right? I think the best case scenario is 40-20, which means that you hung around for quite a while. You took the knockout punch right at the end of the game. Look at Ryan Helinski did some really nice things in this game. Did some really nice things. That to me represents the best case scenario. Worst case scenario is 58-3, right? But best case scenario, I think, is attainable, and that's a 40-20 defeat in which you are, hey, did you see that throw by Helinski over the outstretched arms of the safety? Perfectly dropped in there. Did you see that pass for the touchdown? I think you could have some moments like that, Lonzo, in this game. I really do.
I know what shirt I'm wearing right now, but I'm going to be realistic here, and I'm going to go 38-7. I don't think they have a shot. I know Helsinki looked great last week.
I'm asking the best-case scenario, Lance. What's the best-case scenario?
I mean, the fantasy best-case scenario would be for them to upset them, like what Steven Garcia did
a
few years ago.
What is a realistic best-case scenario?
A realistic scenario is 38-7 to me.
That's the best case?
Yes it is.
Really?
Because I do not trust the defense against a good offense, and Helsinki hasn't seen the kind of looks on defense that he's going to face going up against Saban, and he's going to get confused. He's going to throw some picks. I mean, what a horrible second game for a new player to have to go through.
All right. Coming up next on the show, I have a question for you, our audience here. As somebody new to this area still at this time of year, I haven't been here for a football season, so I've got a question for you and I'm looking for some feedback on. And I'll ask that to you next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you guys on a Wednesday afternoon. Okay, so here's my question for you. All right. I have posted a poll on our ESPN Upstate Twitter page, and I said the following. I said, this time of year, if you hear a baseball segment on the radio, are you listening or are you more like, what's this? Where's football? And I've posted that question to you on our Facebook Twitter page at ESPN. I'm on our Facebook Twitter page, on our Twitter page poll at ESPN Upstate, right? And thus far, it is right about 60% of you to 40%. If you hear even one baseball segment on the show, 60% of you are saying, what's this? Where's football? Right? This is my first fall here in the Upstate. This is my first time being here at this part of this time of the year. And I am trying to figure that out.
By the way, I just want to point out 60% it's skewed because Diddy has a ton of burner accounts and he's went on every single account and voted for baseball.
Do you know that to be true? Which of these statements is most true?
Of course it's true.
Is that true? Okay, well, 40% say they're listening to the baseball segment this time of year. 60% are saying, what's this? Where's football? And here's where I ask you guys the question as my listenership, with me being new here. Do you want baseball coverage right now? Or is it unwelcome here? Or do you want all football all the time? I'm looking for your feedback because I'm trying to get to know you and I want to deliver to you what you're most interested in. Should I hold off on baseball coverage until October? You know, we just focus on football for September? This is why I feel like baseball should be playing their playoffs in August. Get out of the way of football, right? Because 60% of you via our poll are telling me, don't even think about talking baseball right now. So looking for your feedback on this. What do you think? Cover baseball now? Wait till the playoffs in October? What would be the best avenue for me to meet your needs as listeners, valued listeners of this station? Okay, coming up next on the show, it is our weekly high school football preview segment with Cole Bryson, voice of Burns Football, and also host of the Saturday Scramble, 8 to 10 a.m. on Saturday mornings here on ESPN Upstate. What surprises might we see on the high school gridiron this week? Cole will answer that next here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.